Put it on your paper. Okay. I need this one, bud. They already got handed out, okay? But thanks, be willing to help. Okay, we'll be in our, let me get the thing up here. Actually be on lesson number 8 this evening. Lesson number 8, again, it's kind of crazy we're nearing towards the end of this book already. It's like things go very, very quickly. Lesson number 8, talking about in our study of living beyond your capacity, talking about the Holy Spirit. Again, we're kind of in part 2 again, talking about the Spirit-filled life. So then this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yep, and we'll see those that verse again, but again, some other things talked about in this evening. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will jump in here. Lord, I do thank you. I do thank you for the opportunity to be able to be speaking in your house this evening, and just please help me with facilitating the lesson here, that, again, wouldn't just be me up here just talking, and if your spirit's not in it, it is kind of a waste of time, but I pray that your spirit would be with us tonight and teaching and working in our hearts and as we learn about your word, the sword of the Spirit. And just help us, again, just to see something from your word maybe that we've not seen before that we can apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So lesson number 8, sword of the Spirit. Again, the key verses here, I'll read them here really quickly. Of course, the first, the familiar verses, everybody I'm sure has heard them in some manner before. Hebrews 4:12, some of them might even have those memorized. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And the second kind of text verse is Ephesians 6:17, which is, again, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The power that we need to live victorious Christian lives is available to us through the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's kind of interesting. If you think about it again in our study, we always, you know, when we read those verses in Ephesians, then we just read them and read through them, but it's the sword of the Spirit. So thinking about that tonight, which is the Word of God. We must purposefully and regularly study God's Word in order to avail ourselves of that power and win the battle over the flesh. Again, we kind of talked about that last week, the struggle of the Spirit. It is only as we, through faith, realize the offensive power of the sword of the Spirit and study to become more proficient in its use that we will be able to live victorious, Spirit-filled lives. So some goals for the lesson tonight. Number one, that we would recognize the power and authority of the Word of God. Number two, that we would utilize the offensive capacity of the sword of the Spirit in the daily battle against the flesh. And then number three, that we would choose, and again, that's kind of the key part of this, to choose to regularly study the Word of God for the specific purpose of being more skillful in its use in the daily struggle against the flesh. So jumping into our lesson here. So when a preacher's car broke down on a country road, he walked to a nearby roadhouse to use the phone. It says, after calling for a tow truck, he spotted his old friend Frank, drunk and shabbily dressed, staggering out of a bar. "What happened to you, Frank?" asked the good pastor. "You used to be rich." Frank told a sad tale of bad investments and bad habits that led to his downfall. "Go home," the preacher said. "Open your Bible at random, stick your finger on the page, and there will be God's answer." So sometime later, the preacher bumped into Frank. This time was wearing a Gucci suit, sporting a Rolex watch, and stepping out of Mercedes-Benz. "Frank," said the preacher, "I'm glad to see things have turned around for you." "Yes, preacher, and I owe it all to you," said Frank. I went home, opened my Bible, put my finger down on the page, and there was the answer, chapter 11. It took me a while to get that, but literally the chapter 11 heading on the in your Bible. It took me a while to figure out what that meant. Not super clear, but because I think Frank may have been misguided in his idea of how God intends to use his word in our lives. And if you're truly going to discover how to live beyond your capacity by God's Spirit, the Bible is central. Let me say that again. If you're truly going to discover how to live beyond your capacity by God's Spirit, the Bible is central. It's his primary weapon in winning the daily battle that we studied in the last lesson. The Word of God is a sword in the Spirit's hands. Again, the sword of the Spirit. It's what he uses. Then the verse there, we've already read it, but I'll read it again. Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That brings us to point number one. This evening we have the something of the story. It starts with a P. Power, yes. The power of the sword. The word sword refers to a weapon of war. This word would have been a powerful metaphor for the Christians at Ephesus when they received this letter from the Apostle Paul. They would have seen swords very often in the possession of the Romans that would have been ruling that region of the Roman Empire. History records some interesting facts about the gladius, which was the Latin word for the sword of the Roman soldier. Subpoint A, we have the sword is a, starts with an S, of power and authority. Symbol, yes. The sword is a symbol of power and authority. It was carried by those in authority and held the weight of justice and rule. It was a symbol of power and strength. And even so, the Word of God is powerful, and it represents the authority and strength of Almighty God. Kind of think you think about that. The Bible is likened to a sword, the idea of authority. It's the highest authority with which we can enter spiritual battle. Hebrews 1:3 speaks of Jesus and the power of God's Word. That's the first verse. I'm going to read that, Pastor.
Hebrews 1:3?
Yes.
"Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high."
So point B, the sword is N, starts with an O, weapon, offensive, yes. It was to be used to attack an enemy and to penetrate opposition. It was not designed for retreat, but for engagement. Likewise, the Word of God is to be used as an instrument of aggression and assault against our spiritual enemy. James 4:7.
"Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
We have subpoint C. The sword is a hyphenated word. Starts with an O. First and the last one start with an O. Middle one starts with a T. Or actually, I take that back. All of them start with an O. Sorry about that. O. It was designed for close combat. It was not a weapon of mass assault or destruction, but rather one used in personal, yes, one-on-one. The sword is a one-on-one weapon. Now, the Word of God is the Holy Spirit's weapon in your personal daily battle of the flesh against the Spirit. Subpoint D, the sword is a, starts with a P, piercing, yes. Sword is a piercing weapon. It was designed to penetrate the enemy, to be thrust towards the enemy, to fend off attack. It was used to place the enemy in a defensive position and to cause them to retreat. Even so, the Word of God is designed to be used decisively in spiritual battle. Hebrews 4:12.
God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
So see, some of those words we've already talked about. Powerful, piercing, dividing, discerner, discerner there. So we have E, the sword is a weapon that requires, starts the P, practice. It was a skill to be learned. The longer a soldier trained and practiced, the better he became at handling his sword. Winning with the sword required knowledge, skill, practice. Anybody remember VBS? Can't even remember what his name was, but remember he had to learn how to fight there. In like manner, we are commanded to study God's word, to search out the scriptures, that we might become skillful in spiritual battle. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
And Acts 17:11.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so.
How well we learn to use the sword of the Spirit will determine our success in daily spiritual battle. Point number two, we have the something of the sword, starts the U, short three-letter word, use. The use of the sword. The Holy Spirit uses the scriptures in a powerful way in our lives, and they are his primary weapon. And it's interesting, you think about that. That all kind of goes together. What did Jesus talk about? The Spirit would bring to them all things that I've said unto you. Bring to their memory all things that I've said unto you. The word is his primary weapon. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon here. It says, God, by his Spirit, brings old truth home to the heart, gives new light to our eyes, and causes the word to exercise new power over us. But he reveals no new facts, utters no words in any man's ears concerning his condition and state. We must be content with the old revelation and with the life and power and force with which the Holy Spirit brings it to the heart. Neither must any of us seek to have any additional revelation, for that would imply that the scriptures are incomplete. Again, it's constantly so much you think about cults that start. It's always with something new. Joseph Smith, the Mormons, he saw a vision. Something new on that. Too often we are weak and ineffective in the daily spiritual battle because we simply don't understand how the Holy Spirit desires to use his written word to give us victory. 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Consider how the Holy Spirit makes God's word profitable in our lives. And moving into subpoint A here, it says the word of God was something by the Spirit. It starts with an I. Inspired, yes. The word of God was inspired. Every word in the Bible is given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a vital part of the Christian life, and it is relevant and needed for every aspect of our lives. 2 Peter 1:21.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
And Acts 1:16.
Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was died to the nature of Jesus.
Think of 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. There. Subpoint B, the word of God is searched with an E by the Spirit. not empowered. I have two different things. Not enabled. Not ingest. Not enforced. EX. Explained. Yes, the Word of God is explained by the Spirit. As we saw earlier, the Holy Spirit teaches us God's Word and reveals God's heart to us. This is explained with great clarity here in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 13.
But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
For what man knoweth the things of a, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
God's Word and God's Spirit work together to accomplish God's will, both in us and through us. And they don't go against each other. Think about that. That's a fairly true statement. They're never going to, they don't go against each other. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you blow up. If you have the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. If you have both the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. It's a quote from Don Lyon here. That brings us to point number three, something, the story starts with an H. Not having. Handling, yes. Handling the sword. When it comes to winning the daily battles of the Christian life, every child of God has been given two exceedingly powerful resources, which we've just been talking about, the Holy Spirit of God and the inspired Word of God. Daily victory is well within reach for every Christian. Yes, the Christian life is impossible to live by human strength, but God calls us to live beyond our capacity. And to make such a thing possible, He places His Spirit within us and His Word before us. The problem is not that victory is elusive or difficult. The problem is not that we are weak and our flesh is strong. The problem is not that the devil is cunning and temptations forceful. The problem is that our Bibles are unread, unused, and unstudied. And the Holy Spirit is ignored and unwelcome. At our fingertips, we have the explosive power of the very Word of God. And one breath away, we have the all-powerful Spirit of God. Yet, for love of sin and the flesh, we hold them both at bay, forbidding the power of God to truly work in our lives. We lose our battles not because we cannot win, but because we will not. Kind of some hard statements there. Imagine if David had not slung the stone, or if Joshua had not led the march around Jericho. Imagine if Noah had not boarded the ark or even built it, or Gideon had not blown the trumpet. Imagine if Peter had not thrown out the net. I learned about that this morning. Or if Naaman had not dipped the seventh time. Imagine if Daniel had not tested the prince of the eunuchs, or if Elijah had not called on God. All throughout Scripture, we see God's people by faith using the power that He places before them. And as a result, God brought victory. In order for the Word of God to make a difference, we must practice its use. A quote from D.L. Moody says, "A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not." Practically speaking, there's six simple ways here that are listed that we can learn to use the sword of the Spirit to live in victory. in our daily life. So kind of some practical things here. Subpoint A, something, the word starts with a D. Desire. Desire the word. A growing Christian will have a natural and growing hunger to know more of God's truth. 1 Peter 2:2. Remember exactly where we are, but I'm going to read it, Pastor, if you don't mind.
Sure. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby.
Halfway thinking about we're going to get like a stick that you hold and you pass, and you pass once you read it, so we know where we're at when we do this. I have a talking stick. We'll pass it back and forth here. Desire the word. And subpoint B, starts with an S. Study. Study the word. We're commanded to personally dig into God's word and learn it. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Subpoint C starts with an M. Memorize. Yep. Memorize. Memorize the word. Daily or weekly, choose a portion of scripture to memorize. Psalm 119:11-12.
That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes.
And if you can recall back to that one study we did, what's on your mind? Power of biblical thinking. And what kind of did that kind of get down to? How to think, the purpose of just having the mind of Christ, right? And how do we do that? His word. And really specifically getting it into us. That whole point of memory, scripture memory. I think everybody should have a copy of that book. And then remember, Brother Getch talked specifically about some scripture memory and how to do it and different things. That's definitely something we should be doing. I will definitely confess I kind of have dropped off on that, of doing what I should be doing with that. I think we just read Psalm 119:11-12. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, and then blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So point D starts with an H, the word. Hear, yes, hear the word. Get before the regular teaching and preaching of God's truth in a local church. Turn away from pop psychology and avail yourself of solid Bible teaching and preaching. 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
And subpoint E also starts with an M, upon the word. Meditate, yes. Meditate upon the word. Think about God's truth and then let your heart contemplate it throughout the day again. But to do that, we have to be in it and memorizing it for that to happen. Joshua 1:8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have thy success.
And then the last subpoint here, F, starts with an O, the word, obey. Obey, the word. And this boils down to simple obedience. Appropriate its truth and live by it. Apply it to your life and just do it. Psalm 119:105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Then James 1:25.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth therein, he be not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
So in conclusion this evening, you know, God has given us an incredible weapon for daily spiritual victory. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us how to use it, how to use this power. The question is, what will you do with this power? Many Christians reason, what's one book and an invisible spirit against such strong temptations? Now, what is prayer or reading against such powerful circumstances in your life? The deciding point in spiritual victory is your faith in what you choose to do with the power available to you from the Word and the Spirit. The Word of God is powerful. The Spirit of God is powerful. Whether or not you believe it, whether or not you claim it, they're true. We read it there, Hebrews 4:12. The prophet Ezekiel bears record that it's possible to hear the Word of God and yet do nothing with it. The passage below describes a people who said they loved to hear God's word and even expressed a favorable response to it, but they never allowed the Holy Spirit to bring real change through it. They never really responded to it. I'm going to read those here. It's in Ezekiel 33 and verses 31 to 32. Actually, I'm going to go back to verse 30. Says again, this is God speaking to Ezekiel here. It says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Again, let that not be us. And that was written to Old Testament and the Jews, but that sounds kind of like church today, doesn't it? And a lot of times, and saying that to ourselves, to me, far too many times, I think we're there. I'm there. Again, that kind of goes with that verse in James that we just read. "Who's a looking into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed." So are you living today like the people in the book of Ezekiel? If you are, avail yourself of the power of the Spirit and the power of God's Word. Daily victory is within your reach, but it calls for a response from you. Act in faith and begin actively engaging in battle by His Spirit and with His sword. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to engrave His Word into your heart and change your life, you became a living epistle, a walking Bible. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 to 3.
"Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart."
So ask the Holy Spirit of God to stir within you a fresh and enduring love for God's Word, the sword of the Spirit. Decide right now that a day will not go by when you don't avail yourself of that mighty power of the sword. For in so doing, you will discover that no sin, no temptation, and no fleshly desire is a match for the power of God's Spirit using God's Word in your life. So that brings us to the questions here at the end of the lesson. Number one is, who teaches us God's Word and reveals God's heart to us? Holy Spirit. Number two, as we fight the daily battle to overcome the flesh and live a Spirit-filled life, what weapon has God provided for us? He's given us the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Number three, what can we do to cause Satan to flee when he's tempting us? Specifically in the verse resist, but then there's obviously lots of ways to do that. Resist the devil and he will flee. Number four, this lesson here listed six practical ways to learn how to more effectively use the sword of the Spirit in your quest for victorious Christian living. How many of these can we name?
Desire.
Got to desire it. Study. Arise. Meditate. Hear. And then obey. Yep. There's six. So number five is, what can you do to encourage daily meditation on the Word of God? So there's some, I guess that's not necessarily a personal question, but what are some things that you could do, that we could do, to encourage daily meditation on God's Word? Read it. Got to know what it is before you can think on it. Yeah. Chapter 11. I think the question is kind of specifically kind of gearing toward like posting printed verses, in your house, around your car and your place of work, that kind of thing. To remind you, to keep you in that mindset. Number six says, is there someone you can enlist to be your scripture memory, accountability partner, so the two of you can be accountable for verses trying to be memorized? That's an interesting one there. Number seven says, is there a Bible topic you would like to study more in depth? And says, can you buy or borrow, not steal, a book this week that might help you reach that goal? And number eight, is there some command in Scripture that you know you're not obeying? Perhaps something like faithful church attendance, to hear preaching, tithing, soul winning. What do you need? And then what do you need to do to obey it, that command, this week? Again, that's a one for us to answer for ourselves there. So that concludes lesson eight. Again, we're already getting close to the end of that here. But any other thoughts? Anybody on the lesson tonight before we close? Anything particularly stand out to you? Anything? That is true. Let's close. Lord, I do thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together and to learning some more about your word. And again, specifically from the aspect of how that being coupled with your spirit, your word is the sword of your spirit. It's what your spirit uses in our lives to do spiritual battle, to win things, to accomplish, to fight spiritual battles. And I pray that we would, again, avail ourselves of that. And again, it's not, your spirit doesn't work in like mystical, pie in the sky ways, but it's practical through your word. And again, I ask that you just, again, this is a reminder for us to be in your word, to be memorizing it, to be studying it, to be hearing it, to desire it, to obey it, to meditate on it. And I pray that you just help us to have a productive week in that regard. And I pray that you just be with us, give us the safety getting back to our homes. Bring us back together on Wednesday. Pray for those that are not feeling well, be able to get better quickly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.